ran a band of Benjamin out of the army. Received a shadow the same day with his toes ramped with earth upon the head. When he came, lo, Elias sat upon a seat by the wayside washing, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. When the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. When Elias heard the noise of the crying, he said, "What meaneth the noise of this tumult?" The man came in hastily and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim, and he could not see. The man said unto Eli, "I am he that came out of the army, and I fled today out of the army." And he said, "What is there done, my son?" The messenger answered and said, "Israel is fled before the Philistines. There have been also great slaughter among the people. Thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken." It came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate. His neck brake, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. His daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, near to be delivered. When she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed. Her pains came upon her. About the time of her death, the woman that stood by her said unto her, "Fear not, for thou hast borne a son." But she answered not, neither did she regard it. She named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, because of her father-in-law and her husband." And she said, "The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken." Turn, please, to Ezekiel. So you'll follow me. I want you to notice Ezekiel walking under an open heaven himself, receiving visions of God. But it's his lot to watch the glory of God reluctantly withdraw from the house till it's left the mercy of the Gentiles. And it breaks his heart as the glory withdraws. And at the close, we see the answer when the glory again fills the house, when the law of the house is maintained and glory fills the house. Notice here in Ezekiel 1, "Now it came to pass in verse 1, in the 30th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Chebar, and the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God." Notice another mark in the next chapter, chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse 15. Here's a man, and he's not only walking under an open heaven, but there's another thing that should mark every servant of God. Notice here in the latter part of the verse, "I sat where they sat," the people, "and remained there astonished among them 7 days." He's walking under an open heaven, Godward. But he's sitting where the people sit, could feel their need, could speak to their hearts. Now look over, please, at chapter 10, verse 18. "Then the glory of the Lord departed from off the threshold of the house, stood over the cherubim." So on. Just turn over again quickly because the time's going. Chapter 11, the next chapter, verse 22. "Then did the cherubims lift up their wings, and the wheel beside him, the glory of the God of Israel was over them above, and the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city, and stood upon the mount, which is the east side of the city." And just turn over chapter 43, same book, 43rd chapter. No doubt this will be a millennial scene, but I believe the principle is the same today. Ezekiel 43 and verse 5, the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. I heard him speaking unto me out of the house. The man stood by me. I just looked down at verse 10. Thou son of man, show the house to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. If they be ashamed of all that they have done, show them the form of the house, the fashion thereof, the goings out thereof, the forms thereof, and all the ordinance thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the laws thereof, and write it in their sight, that they may keep the whole form thereof, and all the ordinance thereof, and do them. This is the law of the house. On the top of the mount, the whole limit thereof round about shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. Dear saints of God, it's a sad day if Ichabod would have to be written over any gospel hall, any assembly of God's saints. The glory is departed from. I'm sure there's lovers of Christ here today, and it's just a little bit of heaven when the Lord draws near. When you're sitting with the saints and there's liberty to worship. When God gets his portion, for the Father seeketh worshipers. When we sit in the prayer meeting and there's liberty and the power of the Spirit to lay hold upon God. When we have a gospel effort and there's times of visitation, when God comes near and moves and works, and we say God has worked. Brother was telling me the other day, meeting an assembly where they sat 15 to 20 minutes between prayers. You could feel the deadness, the lack of exercise. Dear brethren, we need to fear today. What we need, I believe, is a little of that old-fashioned godly fear in our soul, lest we lose the sense of God's presence in the company. Now look at the background here with Israel. Here's a woman, Hannah, seeing the condition of things in Israel. She's down before God, crying for a man from God to be raised up, Samuel. She realized the awful condition, but Samuel's only a boy. Here's Eli, seemingly a pious man in a way, but he's failed miserably with his family. His boys grew up functioning in the priesthood. So conducted themselves that the Lord's people abhorred the offering of the Lord. Can I say just in passing, dear brother, maybe there's some young man aspiring someday for leadership. God will raise you up. Let me encourage you to be a testimony in your home, because that could disqualify. Here's a man, Eli, and I believe he had some desires for God, but he failed miserably in his family. They carried on wickedly, and he restrained them not. Dear saints of God, remember that God links your home and his house together. In fact, we read, if you can't rule your own house, how can you care? The church of God. Here, young brethren, set up a home, married couples, seek to honor God and raise your family in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I feel for you and I pray for you today because it's a desperate day. But I believe that Enoch lived in a day something like ours. And he walked with God and raised a family. So it can be done. It seems that this dear woman, daughter-in-law of Eli, had some love for God's house. I don't know if you can separate, brother, and I wonder if you can separate love to his person and love to his house, because that's where his honor dwells. She hears the ark, the symbol of God's presence, is taken into the Philistines. I never heard of any boy being named Ichabod. I don't suppose you'd put a name like that on, would you, brother? But think of that boy is named as a memorial to the day that the presence of God left Israel. Ichabod, the glory departed from him. I believe it should be a concern to every believer that loves God's house to seek to maintain an atmosphere where God can bless. I was over at a conference one time some years ago in New Jersey. There were two couples that got acquainted with between the meetings. And these brethren said, we'd like to share something with you. We've seen the Lord's hand in our assembly, and we'd like to share it with you. I said, I'd be delighted. He said, we both have children to be saved. And in our meeting, we are very suspicious that there's a man morally unclean going on. But he was related to one of the overseers and has seen no power to deal with it. Here we are, the place is dead, there's no move, and our children going on in their sins. So he says, what are we going to do? Well, he said, this brother and I and our wives, we agreed to meet every night in his home, and we're going to cry to God to bring it out. That God's house might be cleansed, that God could work, that the glory might fill the house. He says, for 3 weeks we've cried to God. He said, before we're just leaving to come to this conference, the brother that we were suspicious of, he called up and broke down over the phone. He says, God's been speaking to me. I've been living a double life. I've got to get things right. I want to see you, brethren, when you come back. I want to get right with God and be clear. Well, I said, thank God. Thank God there's some that are exercised to see maintain the glory of God's house, filling the house, where God can work. I believe, brethren, it's time that we're burdened about seeking to maintain an atmosphere where God can work. I think you see a little of that with Jehoshaphat. You remember one time poor Jehoshaphat, his weakness was that he linked up with some bad boys. And one time he's linked with a couple of wicked kings. And he's about to perish, remember? There's no water. And he comes to Elijah. Elijah says, I wouldn't look at you only for Jehoshaphat. But what did he do? He says, bring a minstrel. And as he played the minstrel, he got a word from God and said, dig ditches. And the Lord filled them full of water. Here's the point that I want to get. The prophet here created an atmosphere where God could speak. Dear brethren, God won't go on with evil. I suppose at Corinth, some of them were glorying and that they were very liberal, showing grace. wicked in sin. Puffed up, we read. I wonder, dear brethren, if you have a zeal to maintain the holiness of God's house. Maybe there's an elder here today and they say, well, you know, I like to be friends with everybody. I don't like to bring anything up where there's contention. My dear brother, can I speak to you? I'm not exactly a novice. For 40 years I've shared with my brethren, sharing a little leadership. But I want to tell you in the fear of God that this morning, God hasn't called you and raised you up to make you popular. He's asked you to be faithful, to maintain the holiness of God's house. It's costly. Sometimes you'll get a cold shoulder. But I'll tell you at the end, there's a crown of glory, Peter says, for those that are true shepherds in God's house. They're called, at times, elders. That speaks of spiritual maturity, not a novice. They must be mature men. They're called overseers. That speaks of spiritual authority. They're to oversee. You should know what's going on in your assembly. That's your business. You may be told it's none of your business, but it is your business to oversee. Not ruthless, brethren. I'm not talking about being a lord over God's house, but faithful to God and to the word of His grace. An overseer, but also they're called shepherds. That speaks of spiritual compassion. They must be men with a shepherd heart that love the sheep. They feel it when anything dishonors the Lord and mars the testimony. They feel it. They're wounded. They're not indifferent. Now the time is pretty near gone. I want to get over to Ezekiel. I want you to notice here. Here's a man walking under an open heaven, and things are at a low state. Ezekiel chapter 1. And I saw visions of God. This man is in touch with God. He could sing, "There's nothing between my soul and my Savior." He's walking under an open heaven. And he's receiving visions of God. But there's another thing that marks this man. He's able to get down where the people sit. Sometimes I wonder, some of the preachers realize what young people and some are facing today in high school and all. We're living in a cesspool of iniquity, a Sodom. We need words of warning. We preach and pray, brethren, like everything's normal, and we're in a crisis today. The glory's departing, and nobody's alarmed. Here's a man of God, and he's walking under an open heaven, and he's given it a hard job. He must warn them. But God says, "I want to take you around and show you the iniquity of the people." Poor Ezekiel, his heart is breaking as he watches the glory withdraw from the house. And then he sees it reluctantly. And let me stress this, dear brethren. God is reluctant to remove His glory. He would linger over it. He would brood over it. He gives them space to repent. But at last He draws His glory, goes up to the mountain. I would like to develop this a little, but I just want to touch the cure. You say, brethren, it's true Elijah watched the glory withdraw. But when we get to chapter 43, We have the law of the house. We have instruction to the holiness of God's house, His place. What do you see? The glory of God is filling the house again. Now I've heard brethren say, some boys that are really liberal, makes no difference today, makes no difference about our sisters, because our sisters actually is what beautifies the house of God. Our sisters actually make us distinct from anything else. Where do you see sisters dressed modest today with a covered head in church assembly? Only in the assembly, brother. But I hear brothers saying, I don't care. It won't make any difference to me how the sisters dress, whether they put on the paint and the rings and cut their hair and wear the pants. It makes no difference as long as their heart's right. Now that's a modern teaching. Brethren, that is an apostolic teaching. That is what the book teaches. Paul, he's speaking about our dear sisters and being silent in the church and the head covering in Corinthians. And then what he says, if any man thinks him to be a teacher, let him know that these are the commandments of the Lord. You say, why is the glory leading? You say, why is the barrenness, the deadness today? Brethren, the world's coming in. We've been careless regarding the law of the house. You know, you used to think when I was a boy that some preachers, they had a one-stringed instrument. Every time they got up, they was preaching about woman's dress, all this, and the clean, about a modest apparel. But I think we've swung the other way today, brethren. I don't hear much about it all. Now, I know the heart must be right, but I'll tell you, if the heart's right, it'll show on the outside. Spiritual, godly sisters, they realize it's an honor that they have a ministry the brethren do not have. They even teach angels. As we're gathered with their modest apparel and their head covering, the long hair, and they're bringing honor and glory to God, and heaven smiles upon them. Thank God, most of our dear sisters have got that exercise, and I'm not here to condemn them. But I just want to show the things that are sapping the life out of us today. Power for discipline, for moral evil. Why, think of it. Carrying on at Corinth. And a fornicator sitting at the table. Dear brethren, if we could only deal with these things, there's provision made in the book for different forms of discipline, whether it's excommunication, whether it's three, two brethren, the provision is made that it could be dealt with, put right. Heaven recognizes the discipline that's done in the fear of God. If it's a heretic, he must be silenced. You see, there is discipline in God's house. God's a God of honor. Can you imagine two brethren or two sisters as it was at Philippi sitting at the same table, taking the bread as it's passed around each one of them, speaking of the unity of that body, and one going out one door and one the other, not speaking. You say, can it happen? It does happen, brethren, to our shame. Could never go off. You see, these are the things that are sapping the spiritual life out of us today. And the glories depart, and the barrenness comes in. Oh, may God give us power. Have a zeal for God's house, a place where His honor dwells. To maintain the holiness. All discipline first is Godward. God's house may be kept clean.
purge out the evil, and then secondly, for the restoration of the poor backslider.
So, these are just a few thoughts, because I believe there's very precious to most of us today, God's house. We longed to feel a touch of God in our meetings. What a shame, brethren, if we come together for the worst and not the better. I believe God's assembly should be a place of refreshment, a place where the saints are come. They don't get anything outside. It's a whole world where they're built up and strengthened, able to face the world again. What a pity. Why, in Galatians, was it we read, if you bite and devour one another, take heed you're not consumed one another. By your saints of God, let's see the work to maintain an atmosphere amongst the people of God where God can bless us. Where the dew of heaven falls. And together, with one heart and mouth, we might glorify God, even the Father.